Good morning and welcome in to Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With Jesse Rogers in for Cap, I'm Jay Hood. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for keeping the conversation going. That's where you can watch our show and all the shows here on ESPN 1000, including Mike Greenberg at 10, Yurko and Meller from 12 to 2, Wall and Sylvia from 2 to 6, and the Boca Raton Bowl, brought to you by Good Karma Brands. Boca Raton Bowl, 6 o'clock right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Look, if it's a bowl game, someone's betting on it. That's all I know.
Oh, there's no question about it.
I don't know about the matchup. I just know someone's betting on it. By the way, my daughter just, it's my second daughter to do this to me.
Yes.
My first daughter did this to me in 2020 when I was doing the sideline for the Cubs playoff game on ABC TV. Mm-hmm. She texted me mid-game and said, "Hey, I printed something downstairs. Can you go grab it for me while I'm live at Wrigley Field on TV?" This one just texted me, "Can you drive me to the workout, Lifetime Fitness or the Y or something? Can you drive me there in a half an hour? I'm a little busy right now,
you're
honey.
You're on the air.
I'm a little busy. Thanks for listening."
Good support there.
Because she plays basketball, so she wants to. Great, I love it. Go work out. But I can't drive you in a half an hour.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Exactly right.
Turn on the radio.
How about that?
Doesn't even know I'm not home.
Does dad even know? Does she even know that dad's on the radio right
now? It's two daughters now. They have no idea what I'm doing at any time of the day.
You're playing the toy department. You're not doing anything busy.
That's
Get off
true.
The air and go drive them.
I told her, in an hour, I'll be off. I'll drive you
no
to the
idea. Line. Hey, we've been talking about the Bears in a matchup against the Bills. A couple of things here regarding this game. Okay, we know that the Bears are going through a losing streak. We all know that. But it's a determination about your fandom. Are you strong enough as a fan to say, you know what, the Bears aren't doing well, but there's Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills coming into the town, and the weather's going to be crappy. Zero is supposed to be the temperature on Saturday. Wind chill -9. Will you go to the game? Now, you've mentioned, Shay, like, is the barrier the Bears game or Christmas Eve? Now, again, with this being a noon game, you could be able to do both. Last second Christmas shopping.
Right, exactly.
Go kick it if you want to. Go drinking if you want to, safely, and still go to the Bears game. You could do both.
Can you? Because it takes like 6 hours to get out of there.
You talking about the shopping center or Soldier Field?
By the time you're out of Soldier Field at 6 o'clock, then you got to get to TJ Maxx or JC Penney, and the parking lot's full.
I mean, you have time to go to Mass if that's what you do.
Sure.
You know, so the noon start should not prevent you from Christmas Eve activities.
Yes,
the 0 degree temperature is a whole different story.
You can get some knockoff Bears apparel in the parking lot. Some royalty free Bears stuff.
You can't wait for it to thaw until March, though. It'll be so cold out there. It'll be in someone's trunk, I'm sure. I'm sure that's the case. That's how you do it, man. Half off, Jay. That's how you do it.
How do you misspell Bears? It's five letters.
Exactly, Charlie.
It'll be the safest tailgate environment ever because you can just leave the grill on. It'll be so cold that nothing could happen. They'll go out all on their own.
That's so true. And so we've been talking about cold weather games as well. Jesse and I both have our... I didn't mention the other one. I mentioned the Bears game against the Packers 2008 December. Mm-hmm. The other one, the coldest I've ever been... And it was just me going from the bus to the arena was in Alaska.
Oh, my God. Same thing.
Yeah.
I was up there for women's basketball, NIU basketball, same thing. Freezing.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody that's been to Alaska, there's like, you can have four different weather systems going on depending on where you are.
Yes.
Yes, I remember that. It was like, you know. You couldn't even feel anything.
So it's the Carlson Center in Fairbanks, Alaska, and UIC is playing in this top of the world tournament. And, okay, so the average temperature, I was there for 7 days. This was a rib by our former program director at the time, Jeff Schwartz. Complete rib on me. I'm new to the station. I got an idea. How about we send you to Alaska? send me where? To Alaska. It'll be great. 7 days. You'll cover the flames. We'll have it all over the papers. It'll be great. Yeah, okay, fine. I'll be glad. But it's complete rib on me. That's exactly what he did that just to F with me, right? Just to see if I would go. Sure, I went. The average temperature was -5.
Yeah.
Now, we're Chicagoans. Like, with no wind chill, I could take -5. As a matter of fact, I was walking around the town through the snow. Oof. Like, it was fine. Like, it's not like we haven't dealt with cold temperatures before. No wind chill. Okay, fine. That last day, though, brother. Here's a guy here. The brother had a nice, heavy leather coat. Double scarf, long underwear, boots, gloves, nice thermal hat. I got off that bus. I've never been that cold.
Yeah.
It was -55 without the wind chill.
Ooh.
Seriously.
I remember it being the same. Brother. I could not feel anything. The other thing I remember about being in Alaska is it was in December. It was like a tournament, you know, women's basketball tournament.
Yeah.
And it was a Sunday, and like the NFL starts at 7 a.m. out there.
Because
the time, I'm like, whoa.
Yes.
That's some early action to get, you know, because the time, I don't know what, I mean, it's similar to Hawaii, I think, as crazy as that sounds, because I don't know, people might think, well, Alaska is that much further east, but I'm not sure that it is.
I think it's 5:07 in Alaska right now, I believe. I believe it is.
And what's Hawaii?
Further, another two or three hours after that.
Something like that, yeah. But anyway, it was like a 7 a.m. NFL kickoff. I'm like, okay, this is what this is like.
You enjoy that 1 hour of sunlight, by the way, in Alaska in the winter?
I just remember it was one storm, you know, one system here, then you get near a glacier, and it's a whole other weather system, you know, snow, everything, cold, freezing, and then you get away from the glacier, and it's a different weather system.
I'll tell you one thing, the North Pole was cool. Enjoyed that. Never thought I'd be there.
When were you at the North Pole?
With the Flames.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd they do up there?
They were building toys for all the youth of the world.
Exactly right.
No, are you kidding?
No, I was up there.
Wow.
Yep, in the same area.
That was it any colder than Alaska?
No, it was warm in there. All the strippers, the North Pole bar, it was great.
I don't know if you're messing with me or not. I really don't.
The North Pole bar, it was awesome.
What a name for a strip club, man.
312-332-3776 is our phone, and we're going to hear from Courtney Cronin on the Bears coming up at 9:18. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to you. Let's hear from Ken in Aurora, Colorado, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. All right, Ken.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing this morning?
We're great. Thanks for checking in.
Wonderful. I went to what they said was the coldest kickoff in Bears history before Windchill, and I got those tickets from you and Alex Brown. I don't know if you remember when you were at the other station down the dial.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won those tickets at Gibson's.
Yes. And it was a Crown Royal appearance.
Nice.
Yeah, I remember
that. Yeah, I think I still have a couple of those bottles. Crown, that was the first time I ever had Crown. Now that's the only hard liquor I drink right now.
Oh, my guy. Look at that.
It is so delicious. Oh, but you know what? I think I swore on live TV that night because it was right after my father died.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time I smiled since my father's passing.
Mm-hmm.
And when AB called my name, I stood up and I said, "Holy!" I think Corey McFerrin was there from Fox 32.
Yes, yes.
But
an old school.
It was
call.
So cold. It was so cold that my friend was in the bathrooms under the heaters more than he was watching the game.
Yeah,
it was 5 below 0, I believe, before wind chill.
I remember. I know what you're talking about, Ken, because that was. I did a few appearances with Alex Brown, which was fun. It was Crown Royal appearance, and Ken won tickets. That's awesome.
It's nothing like my Dustin Byfuglien appearances.
All right, you just step out. You keep your beak out of Dustin Byfuglien.
I knew you'd like that one.
Keep your beak out of it.
Can I having now been in the bathrooms at Soldier Field? If you're at a game and you would rather be in the bathrooms under the heater, go home.
I mean,
that place is a nightmare.
You couldn't pay me to be in those bathrooms. Go home. Brother. Watch the game on the couch.
That's why I cannot wait for the new stadium. I can't wait. It won't be as ridiculous as it is over there. Again, whatever AFC team's going to move over there, they got to deal with those amenities. It's got to happen, Jess, in our lifetime.
I'm not denying it.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I mean, there's the other big cities have two teams. Mm-hmm. Why can't we?
They could deal with those amenities and that whole thing.
I have no problem having an AFC team here. There's probably a lot of Bear fans that do, but I don't.
No, I think it'll be just fine, especially if they win. You know how bandwagon the city is.
Right. It might be the second team in town.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. But there's a big town. We can handle both.
John is in LaGrange with Jay Hood and Jesse Rogers on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yes, thanks for making it.
Hey, yeah, I've called it a couple times with my Bills sort of insight. I'm a big Bills fan. Spent a lot of time at snow games out there.
Mm-hmm.
I am actually not going to the game. I was super excited to hear that they were going to be playing the Bears. I had friends in Buffalo that were going to fly out, and then as soon as they released that it was on Christmas Eve, that absolutely surrupted all of my my chances to go see Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. So Christmas mass, Christmas parties. That knocked me out of going to the game.
John, what time is mass? Is it 11 or is there a night one? You got a night mass?
No, it's at 3. It's at 3.
Oh, the 3 o'clocker. Who put that together? What parish put that together?
I know. I know. It's LaGrange.
Three.
I don't know what happened.
All right.
I don't know what happened, but that's the one. That's the one mass right there. And then we always have it. It's a big family. 30-plus people come to this big Christmas Eve party right after mass. It's a tradition.
Now, hold on a second, John. Now, who's the pastor over there? Let me give a few minutes on him. What's that guy's name?
I know, right? I think they changed it, too. So it's a new guy, too. So
new guy.
Well, at least it's between. It's not between noon and 3. It's at 3, right? I mean,
it's at 3. It's exactly at
3. Better than in the middle of the Bears game.
You tell Pastor.
So I can at least get to watch a little bit of it. I can watch it on TV, but it's not the same. I wanted to go. I knew that they were coming. And as soon as they said Christmas Eve, my friends and I just blew up our text stream, and we're just like, cursing through the phone.
Here's what I need you to do, John. Here's what I need you to do. When he's at the back of the church, you know, when he's doing the glad handing, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell him, hey, next time, 9 a.m. All right? The idea of the 3 o'clock mass on a Saturday, it's got to be early or late, pal.
I was about to say that. Either 9 a.m. or 6 p.m., one of them.
Tell him.
It's got to be one of those. And the thing is, you better believe I'm going to be wearing Bill stuff over like under my suit.
That's awesome, man. Thanks so much, John, for calling. The 3 o'clock mass. The ball buster.
The NFL doesn't lose to anybody. The NFL wins every competition, every weekend. Time for the church to get in line. The NFL's winning. John, go to the game.
Why do you think I didn't get confirmed? We had kickoff at 10 on the West Coast.
That's right. Exactly. You see that, Charlie? Come on, Jesse.
I'm looking at how many. Are there any? Yeah, there's a few 3 o'clock games. Not many, just two.
Yeah.
There's just two. So at least he's not missing a whole slate of late games. And he can at least watch most of the Bills game, Bears-Bills, but he will have to scoot out.
Now listen, for all the parishes out there, and synagogues as well for this holiday season, let's move it over to 9, all right? 9 a.m., a 9 o'clocker, all right?
Yeah,
and
for
then
sure.
Let everybody be able to enjoy family and football and friends after the 9 o'clock. Well, by the way, an hour.
This is like Thanksgiving all over again, football and holiday on the same day. It's going to be great.
I think we should have that clarion call right now.
And for a Jew like me, I'll be on the couch for 9 hours that day or whatever it is. Is there a night game?
Exactly.
Sunday night? Or Saturday night? Yes, there's night games. So okay. Perfect.
Well,
beautiful.
And enjoy your Chinese food and your movie.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
That's what I do for Hanukkah.
Yep.
Coming up.
No doubt.
Coming up. We talk Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears and their matchup against the Bills. That's coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Now, Courtney Cronin.
Double C.
Bears insider. And Irish dancer.
I was an Irish dancer, probably like 10 to like 13.
Takes you into Hallis Hall on Cap'n J Hood.
With Jesse Rogers, Jonathan Hood with you. Jesse's in for Cap on the Cap'n J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on with the Cubs and White Sox coming up at 9:35. But first, we talk to the homie Courtney Cronin, brought to you by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Courtney, fresh off of Key, J. Will, and Max this morning from 5 to 9 here on ESPN 1000. Courtney, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. So I was. Here's a question that you won't be asked all day. Okay, so on ESPN.com, the NFL Week 16 Power Rankings, 1 for 32. Now, the theme for this poll this week is pleasant surprises. Pleasant surprises, right? So you got, of course, it's the Bears, so you got to scroll all the way to the bottom. And so you keep going down. It's like, where's Courtney? Where is she? And there she is, number 27, with the Bears being 3-11. And your pleasant surprise was Braxton Jones. Here's the question. How far do you have to go on the depth roster to be able to find more than Braxton Jones as a pleasant surprise in this team? If it wasn't Jones, who would you go to?
Well, I did it for Jesse. I knew he was hosting with you, Hoodie, and I know that that's his guy. I mean, I feel like Jesse's been on the Braxton Jones hype train since July, or maybe it was even before that. You tell me, Jesse. I just remember we've been talking about him for a while, and he earned that nod because he's been a pleasant surprise. I mean, how many people thought that a fifth-round rookie from an FCS school – was going to stick as someone to protect Justin Fields' blind side and not be a constant topic of conversation for the wrong reason.
So if,
not many.
So if not Jones, you're going Sanborn in that spot?
If I don't go Jones, it's probably Sanborn, but that's the obvious answer here, right? Like, yeah. I'm trying to give you something that you think about cornerstone players. Like, obviously, defensively, there's a couple that you can think of. The two DBs that they drafted this year, Jaquan Brisker, certainly that. Kyler Gordon, on his way, had some nice moments, especially the interception and the fumble recovery last week. Jalen Johnson's a cornerstone of this team. He continues to cement himself as that. And one of the best young corners in the NFL, Jack Sanborn. And I think on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, you got to think about what Braxton Jones has been tasked with doing this year. And he's played every snap at left tackle and held up remarkably well. And the reason that's important in the larger context is because they're going to have a top two draft pick, and they don't have to, if they don't want to, they don't have to spend the first-round pick, whether it's there or whether they trade back, on an offensive lineman. Because I think Braxton Jones, you know, while it never hurts to have more competition, if you're trying to get Peter Skoronski or somebody else in the first round, you're probably missing out on a defensive lineman or maybe a Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, any of those guys, because you'd be focusing on getting a lineman within the top 10, which I don't think you'd have to go at two, certainly. But it's a nice hit for Ryan Poles and his staff to be able to find a needle in a haystack, to find somebody from a small school, a fifth round, day three pick, who's actually played considerably well this year.
I could not agree with you more, not just because I like Braxton Jones. What you just said about Anderson or Carter now, it becomes they sort of become an available option, more available option than maybe you would have thought a few months ago if they had the number two pick. But you also said the phrase tasked with, you know, what he's been tasked to do. And I feel like it's just been like, hey, Braxton, go do your thing. You're going to have some ups and downs. But he's almost been on an island sometimes out there. Not a lot of help at times. And I just feel like he's, like you said, exceeded expectations. He's not going to the Pro Bowl, but exceeding expectations, a nice little start for a rookie left tackle.
Yeah, and I think when we go back to this weekend, those first two sacks that Fields took in the first quarter, the pressure came through the interior, and the pressure came on the interior of between the center and the left guard. I mean, I think you can point to a not-so-great game from Cody Whitehair, and even Matt Eberflus yesterday talked about the need to protect Fields better. It's kind of becoming this broken record, despite the Green Bay game where the pass protection was probably the best it's been all season. The interior is where you're going to focus your efforts on, upgrading the center position, potentially, you know, elsewhere too. And we still don't know about how they're going to handle the right tackle spot. But the outlier is the rookie who's holding down Justin Fields' blind side. And I could see a situation where they use a high draft pick on an offensive lineman, because as the Bears know, you can never have too many. And it's never a bad thing to have more competition at those spots, because it's not like you just have five and you roll with those five. There's always injuries. There's always movement. And this is a team that's preached that they're trying to find the best five of their starting offensive linemen. So even if they did use a day two pick on an offensive lineman, I don't think that necessarily means Braxton Jones would be losing his job by any stretch, especially if it was a tackle. I just think that's good competition for a team. But, like, literally, it was the best-case scenario. They've had a lot of best-case scenarios pan out on the offensive line with, you know, by getting Riley Reiff on a cheap contract late into the offseason and getting him here for training camp, to having Tevin Jenkins pan out at right guard, and then having Braxton Jones exceed expectations at left tackle.
Courtney Cronin with us on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Courtney, how would you describe the feeling for Matt Eberflus after the game against the Eagles? Because for him openly saying that he didn't like fumbling the football from Velus Jones, or talking about coaches, is it him being fed up with losses, or him just trying to hold people accountable? Because I haven't heard him that stern before.
Yeah, and I think that it goes to, you know, that's at this point, you're how many weeks into this? Like, you know, 15 weeks in, 14 games, and a whole off season to get it together. It's not like Velus Jones was out there for the first time in week 15 when he fumbles on, I believe it was the end around. Like, mm-hmm. that's basic fundamental football, to have one hand over the other to protect the football. And I think that that's something that – the whole team's grown frustrated with, where Velus Jones keeps getting opportunity. They keep trying to implement him in the game plan, but the reason you see his snap count so low is very clearly that they can't trust him in those situations. And it's nothing, it's not like malintent from him. I just think that he's not coming along at the speed that he had hoped for, and the fact that the team had hoped for him to pan out to be an instant impact player at wide receiver. He just hasn't been that either. But, you know, there were a couple moments I picked up from Sunday's press conference after the game where, I mean, they're talking about, you know, gap integrity is like the number one thing for any defensive player. And the fact that they ended up with two guys in the same gap on the Jalen Hurts 22-yard quarterback keeper where he went unscathed into the end zone, that's a fundamental thing. That's not knowing your alignment and assignment. And I think that as a coach who preaches discipline and, you know, preaching the technique and the fundamental, I know I'm sounding like a coach right now, I'm kind of making myself sick, but like he preaches these things because in a year where everything is really hard, if you don't get the basics down, then you're in trouble because it's not, like, this is your chance. Like, there's no pressure on this team at this moment to win games. There's pressure on you to know what the hell you're supposed to be doing and to end up in the right gap on a safety blitz when they're trying to pressure a quarterback in the end zone because they've seen him run that exact same play multiple times before. So I can understand the frustration from in there because that's not like we got beat by a quarterback on a great play. That's we got beat by ourselves because we didn't know where we needed to be. So I think that sort of mounted the frustration for Matt Eberflus. It's not like he was, you know, he's such an even keel guy that it's not like he's getting terse with the media or pushing back on questions. I think he's just very honest at this point that everybody here is on an audition outside of Justin Fields. Like, everybody is trying to earn a job on next year's team for what they're going to build around. And if you do something like that, it's just not a good look for a team that's trying its hardest to learn how to do this the right way with a young group.
Courtney, what are they learning offensively at this point? I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there that are like, there's nothing left. That's why they want to sit Fields, which I think is crazy. But I thought I heard Eberflus, you know, sort of mention we got a lot of guys out. Like, what can they learn? I mean, Herbert's out and, you know, the wide receiver issues and all that stuff. I mean, I guess it's still offensive line stuff, but is there sort of anything left to learn these last few games?
I mean, it's the continued development of Justin Fields in the pocket. And, you know, when you're throwing for 150-plus yards a game, it's not a lot. And I do think that they want to see those numbers increase. It's a little difficult, though, when you're playing with one hand tied behind your back when your top four receivers are not playing last week. Well, you know, Mooney's out for the season. Chase Claypool was ruled inactive. N'Keal Harry's back is not completely right yet. And then, of course, losing Equanimeous St. Brown on the fifth play of the game, that puts Fields in a bind. Like, what more can you ask him to do in those situations? And I think it was good because it tested Luke Getsy as a play caller to get David Montgomery involved in the vertical passing game on that touchdown. And it was good for Montgomery because these next couple weeks, you know, we don't know what Ryan Poles' strategy is going to be regarding running backs. Are they going to try to keep Montgomery here? I wrote about this on ESPN.com this weekend. Now, the 2023 free agent running back class is stacked. Like, it really is. So maybe that gives the Bears an option, if they so choose, to keep David Montgomery on a less expensive extension than one where he goes and resets the market as a top back. He's not bad. He's like eighth in terms of rushing yards of free agent running backs. But I think that those are the sorts of things that you can glean from these final games about guys who are going to be here next year, who's playing a role next year, and in what form and fashion. And to your point, Jesse, you know, the offensive line, let's go to right tackle. Like, we don't know. These Alex Leatherwood, I think, had four pressures and 10 pass blocking snaps this past week. It wasn't great. And when Matt Eberflus was asked about that yesterday, he said, we'll see if they're going to keep rotating. And if they don't, then maybe they feel like they're just not comfortable with Alex Leatherwood playing at that spot. And I just think that those are the things that you look for here when there's three games left. They're vastly injured. Like, we'll find out Wednesday when they practice about Tevin Jenkins and the severity of that neck injury, Jack Sanborn, and the others that exited that game with injury.
Courtney, happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Courtney.
Thank you, guys. I'm trying to prepare for the snow. I haven't been to the grocery store yet, so I'm hoping Uber Eats is still functioning on Friday.
Happy holidays to you.
Be well.
You too. Take care.
It is Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN.com, joining us.
She's forced to go to the cold game on Saturday. We have a choice. She's not. She doesn't.
Yes. I should cover from the couch. She wants to.
Well, that's, I mean, that's like...
That's like what? That's like what?
Like the George Hoffman score.
There's no reason for that.
I'm just kidding, George.
I mean, come on, man. There's no need for a cheap shot during the holidays. Do you have any?
I don't. I don't have any.
Any couth?
I don't have any morals.
You don't have any morals, any couth at all? Leave him alone, for God's sakes. Kiddo, I'm on the couch. Warm. Coming up, did either the Cubs or Sox do enough?
We'll discuss it coming up next. You're asking me after the break.
Oh, I just thought you were going to chime in with your thoughts.
I'm going to save them.
Oh, how about that? That's coming up next on Cap and J-Hood.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap J-Hood. This is ESPN 1000.
So much big money that was spent in the offseason for Major League Baseball, and we're talking about it with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Jesse Rogers in for Cap. I'm Jay Hood. So when it comes to the Padres and the Giants, Jess, Atlanta Braves and the New York Yankees, I mean, there's a lot of winners, and the Minnesota Twins, I could throw them in as well. A lot of winners when it comes to the offseason. But before we dig into the Cubs and Sox, mm-hmm. I want to ask you a question that no one's going to ask you.
What's that?
And that is asking you, with all the money that was doled out here mm-hmm. in the offseason, what does that do for baseball? Not is it good for the sport, but what does it do overall? Because when you see these big splashy headlines that you tweet out and passing tweets out mm-hmm. of these big salaries, again, a lot of years and a lot of money, what does that do for the sport? That's the question.
I think it raises sort of the bar for all these other owners that aren't doing anything. And I'm not talking about the Chicago teams. They're doing more than a lot of teams, like the Marlins and the Reds and the Pirates. Like, those teams are getting embarrassed right now. Those owners are getting embarrassed. At least the Cubs and Sox are spending, you know, $150, $175, sure. At least something. They're trying to field competitive teams without spending the max. We can be critical of that, but it's really raising the bar for everyone, these owners, and it's embarrassing some of the others. And I don't know if in a few years we're going to see a bunch of teams being sold because of what's going on here. Like, It's a good question. What does this mean for the game? I've talked to a lot of people about it in the game, and they've said, let's see. Let's see if this is a trend. In a year, are we going to see, we probably will see Ohtani get a 10 to 13 year deal. Is this going to continue, these big money deals? And if so, which teams are going to keep up with it? I think it's a sort of an evolving storyline.
See, this is why I think it's a better question than should these guys get paid or what is that? Is this damaging for baseball? Listen, all these owners can do similar or better than some of the owners that we've seen. This circles back to our conversation before about young people wearing jerseys of teams they don't root for. This is why a Pirates fan or a young Pirates fan is like, screw this. A young A's fan says, screw this. I'm wearing a Correa jersey. I'm wearing a Judge jersey. I'm wearing a Xander Bogaerts jersey.
Ohtani.
I'm doing that because my team does not have the commitment to winning, so screw this. I'm going to root for individuals that mean something to the game.
And these owners that don't want to spend and don't want to spend through the tax or up to the tax, are they just going to sit on it? Or are they going to sell their teams and get out? Because that's the one thing. I mean, there's some competitive owners out there. There's labor peace. There's a lot of money coming in. Gambling is added to it. So are you either get moving or get out. And I feel like that's what's the message being sent by some of these other competitive owners right now.
Okay, let's talk about locally here with the Cubs and White Sox. Mm-hmm. So we see the deal with Swanson here, and it's something that was been rumored for a while. It's probably the worst kept secret in Chicago that there might have been an opportunity to have Swanson. Mm-hmm. So now he's here. So how do you see him being able to fill the bill for the Cubs?
Well, he fills a lot of bills. Defensively, he fills a bill. Leadership, he fills a bill. The experience of winning, he fills a bill. He's going to be the face, in my opinion. Now, there'll be a couple other. I mean, Nico's developing into that guy. But Dansby Swanson is the face of the franchise now at $177 million. He should be. They have a good defensive team. They've been able to develop pitching. They've got some parts. They're not a fully formed team offensively yet. And that's what they are. In this division, though, Jay Hood, they could probably compete. Doesn't seem like the Cardinals have taken steps forward this winter. They did sign Wilson Contreras, but can you expect Goldschmidt and Arenado to repeat their years? Maybe. But you've lost Pujols, who performed. He contributed. You got to make up those home runs. You've lost leadership and defense by Yachty, but yep. You've added offense in that position. I don't think the Cardinals are that much better than they were last year, but I think the Cubs are better. They are better just by adding Swanson. Defensively, they're really good. There's no doubt. And pitching, they look decent. But they're not a fully formed team on offense.
So I'm hearing like up the middle, they're like it could be the best in baseball. And I think that's still to be determined. Top five, sure.
And you know, Bellinger's got to find his. If he finds his game offensively, now we're talking. We've got something here because they need left-handed power.
I like the Bellinger signing just for a one-off. It's a 1-year, $17 million deal.
Yeah, it's worth the risk.
I got no problem with that.
You're not a World Series contender. Could you be a contender in the division? A year ago, you could never say that. You'd look foolish. Mm. If you're a diehard fan, you could talk yourself into them competing with the Cardinals. You could do it. Because look at the Cardinals pitching staff, starting staff. Jordan Montgomery, 43-year-old, whatever he is, Adam Wainwright. Jack Flaherty is not the Jack Flaherty they thought with all these injuries. You could talk yourself into the starting staff on the Cubs being equal to the staff on the Cardinals. Neither one has a true number one starter.
Right.
I bet you didn't know this. Last year, the Cardinals starting staff, their ERA for the season was 392. The Cubs starting staff was 395. They were neck and neck.
Wow.
16th and 17th in baseball. Still not top 10 for either team. But in that division, you could make a case the Cubs could battle if things fall their way.
What's interesting about that is the way the Cubs played in the second half. That pulled the nose up on their ERA and the team because they won a lot in the second half.
And I didn't really think about this. It actually made an impression on Jameson Taillon. It made an impression on Swanson. We have audio. I interviewed Swanson at the end of the Braves season, and he made note of how well the Cubs played in the second half. So players that want to come to a winner, they see that. They can talk themselves into, oh, there's something there. Instead of, you know, just playing out the string, the Cubs actually played well, and it could have mattered with some of these free agents.
So in March, say we're in March.
Yeah.
So opening day, Stroman or Taillon? It's Stroman, right?
Yes, Stroman.
Stroman, Hendricks, Taillon?
No, Steel? Hendricks dropping. Hendricks is dropping.
Four?
Yeah, something like that. He's got to get healthy. He's not healthy yet, so we don't even know what spring training is going to look like for him. I would say Stroman, Taillon, Steel.
Hendricks.
Hendrick Smiley, something like that. Yeah, Keegan depending Thompson. On Keegan Thompson might be in the bullpen. Alzolay, bullpen. Like they've found some depth as well, and you need depth. So there's them now. All of a sudden, 2 weeks ago we were like, oh, what are the Cubs? Now they're at least some makings of a competitive team when you consider what they can do defensively and on the mound.
You know, I'm wondering about Jesse. Is about the court of public opinion, because I know you saw this online as well. I'm not getting my season tickets. They don't have a commitment to winning, but you got Dansby in this spot. Now, is it enough? No, it's not. But I didn't expect the Cubs to be in the playoffs in 23. I expected them at the end of 24 for me.
Sure.
I thought they'd be in the playoffs. But
that makes sense.
But look, if the Cubs were like the White Sox, and give the Sox credit, they were able to make a deal, and we'll talk about them next. But if the Cubs didn't make this move, my God.
Oh, yeah, totally. At least we don't have to take calls on, oh, Ricketts just wants to pocket the money. Look, he's handing 177 to one player. That's the most since Jason Hayward. And they're spending elsewhere, 17 to Bellinger. Like you said, they are increasing the payroll. So I always thought Ricketts would spend again. He just took a little break there for a few years. Yeah. That's all.
I still need a little investigative reporting on Crane Kenny. And his comments. I'd like to have 2,000 words on that on ESPN.com.
Well, maybe it was a public way of putting some pressure on the front office.
Sounds like a disconnect.
Well, I don't know about disconnect. It sounds like public. It sounds like what I just said. It sounds like public pressure.
I don't know if I would have put that out there unless Jed was just going to tie his hands like, I'm not doing it.
Right.
I mean, I just think that's odd. If you have a problem, Crane Kenny, and keep your beak out of it, that's what I would say. Let the generally manage the team. If there's an issue, go, you know, knock on his door and talk to him about it instead of just going on, you know, the flagship.
airing some laundry.
And tell him Mike Mulligan what you think about what's going on with the Cubs. What do you think of the Cubs? How come they're not spending money? Will they spend money?
Very good.
You know, so that,
well done.
No, that's what I do. But it just it's.
Well, don't you like my Benintendi signings? That's the best I can do.
I think that's very interesting about that dynamic.
Yeah, definitely.
I have a question to ask you about the White Sox coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Jesse's in for Cap. I'm Jay Hood. We got Greeny at 10. Yurko and Meller from 12 to 2. Wallen and Sylvie at 2. And then the Boca Raton Bowl at 6 o'clock, all part of the mix right here on ESPN 1000. Quickly on the White Sox, Benintendi part of the mix. Boy, if the Sox didn't get Benintendi, oh my God.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Cubs with Swanson. They needed something. They needed a jolt to their roster, and they went to 5 years. Nobody else was willing to do that, Jay Hood. And they got a good hitter.
Yes.
Who probably has more in the tank. I mean, in terms of slugging, he's shown it before. He was a 40 double guy, 17 home run guy. He's turned into more of a contact guy. 320 with the Royals last year before being traded. I like the signing because it helps them in the lineup. They need a lefty. It helps them in the outfield. Eloy's going to be the DH, you would assume, if Oscar Colas is the right fielder. So
yeah.
I like the signing.
Is it enough to get past 81-81? Yes, because if you're fully healthy, this should be an 85-91 ball club. But what does that mean? Because ultimately, the goal is to get past the first round of the playoffs.
One of the problems both teams are facing, and especially the Sox, because they should be closer to winning if they're fully formed and healthy, is what's going on around the league. There are super teams now with $300 million payrolls in the Mets case.
Yes.
And pretty high in the Phillies and the Padres case. These are super teams. Now, not every super team is going to win 100. Someone's going to underachieve.
Yes.
But there's enough good ones and great ones out there. I mean, the Mariners are really good, right?
Yeah.
There's so many good teams, and some of them are really great that the Sox are going to have to overachieve. The Cubs certainly are going to have to overachieve to do anything special in October.
Yes, some teams will underachieve. Rangers.
Exactly.
But you got to try. Like, I love your half-billion-dollar payroll, but you got to try. You're in Dallas, Fort Worth. You're in a major market. You should try.
Newish ballpark they never really have taken advantage of because it opened around COVID.
Yeah.
They have the All-Star game in a year. It's a good fan base if they can put a good team together. And so it's a good ballpark to watch a game. So I think that's why the Rangers are spending.
The one last thing on the Sox. Was there any rumors in San Diego, any rumor innuendo about Giolito or any of the starting pitchers being moved? You hear anything about that?
No, not as much as I thought I'd hear. So maybe they're committed to keeping Giolito, and if the team goes south, they'll trade him in July. But I do think he's going to walk next year. I don't think he's going to sign back up. So, look, you can't win without starting pitching depth. So if they move Giolito, they'd need to bring back some starting pitching depth, you know, somehow. I think Davis Martin's going to be there as the number six or whatever. So it doesn't seem like they're going to trade from there. If they make a trade, they do have some arms in the bullpen that other teams might like. And that's where, if they trade off their major league roster, that's probably where it'll come.
You had one thing. Before we get to the Captain Jay Hood cut of the day, Shay, there's one item we didn't get to. What's the one thing that we forgot to get to today?
Well, it was going to end up in the Friday folder, and it probably still will because we're short on time, but I wanted to make sure we bring it up. Super fandom in the NFL is odd. There's a guy that's a super fan of the Kansas City Chiefs, known on Twitter as Chiefsaholic.
Yeah.
He was on his way to the game in Houston this weekend, and he was arrested for armed robbery. It turns out this Chiefsaholic fellow, who goes to every Chiefs game, was robbing banks to fund his NFL ticket purchases.
Wait a minute.
That's how the NFL is king. When you are robbing banks to fulfill your fandom there, right?
Yes.
The NFL is king.
And Charlie, your question to this is,
yeah, who's still robbing banks? It's not the old West.
How about that's a hell of a
credit card scheme. It's 2022.
You need a good identity theft scheme. That's what you prefer. But the funny thing is, they still do. I mean, you see this in the news often. Yes. There's still bank robberies. But you would think with all the technology, it'd be hard to get away with it.
I think that Charlie's onto something. But of course, where's those classic movies of credit card theft? You gotta have that.
Exactly.
You gotta have the old Western, you know, bank robberies.
It's hard
right?
to have the chase scene when a guy's in his basement.
Yeah, guy on a laptop in his room.
He was just wearing masks. I mean, he was getting away with robbing banks for years and going to NFL games. If you're this good at robbing banks, why NFL games? Find something better than NFL tickets.
The mask he wore just said number one Chiefs fan.
So funny.
It's now time for the Cap and Jim Cut of the Day, brought to you by Hi, Chicago Cut. All right, Charlie.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
You guys get up at 4 a.m. every day. I got up at 3:30 because I was nervous, and I'm going to be dead by 10 a.m., let alone, you know, my wife later, let's go to dinner. I'm like, I've been up since 3.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Yeah. Whatever.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Captain J of Cut of the Day brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
I want you to have a great few days off.
Absolutely.
Because the fact you do this every morning, man, I give you the ultimate respect.
Well, we thank everybody that's been supporting our show, Captain J Hood, and we hope that everyone has a great holiday season. Cap and I have a ball every morning providing this show for you, giving you a little something different. And we just appreciate everyone watching and calling and twitching, supporting our show. Without you, this is just another show. And you get plenty of those down the dial. Plenty of those, just another show. But this one's special.
I always enjoy coming on with you at 8:35 during baseball season. Mm-hmm. I'm in my pajamas. I'm on my couch. I'm relaxing. I don't have to get up at 4 in the morning.
Oh, absolutely not. We do. And we thank you so much for listening and calling and twitching and being the part of this program, as always, here on ESPN 1000. Thank you, Shay. Thank you, Charlie. For Jesse Rogers and for Cap. What about me? I'm still listening. I'm just telling you. For Cap, I'm Jay Hood. Thanks for listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Greeny's next right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. So long, everybody. From Chicago.